Yeah, while we're away, the reading along with you all and following those verses with you all, it was such a great thing to track with forgiveness and grace. Most powerful themes, really, in my life. That God is a God who is gracious and forgiving, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who redeems and restores. And it's this that becomes this beautiful platform that thanksgiving is born out of, that thankfulness becomes an uncontrollable, flood, that when we really take a hold of that and believe it, we're moved to thankfulness or to thanksgiving. There is so much in the Bible about giving thanks. The reason we set this month aside every year, and if you've been around Good Life for a while, you'll know that this is a month. November, we take it each year and we say, let's focus in on being thankful. Let's just get back to the heart of this. I always remember the course that I attended that Tony Powell put on. It was the gratitude seminar, and she's run it here a number of times, and she runs it all over the place, even internationally, for corporate leaders, for leadership teams. And it is a theme that, that people have taken hold of, and the science behind it. And when we live a life of gratitude, when we express that, meditate on it, it is health to our entire person. It is health to us mentally. It is health to us emotionally. It is health to us physically. And it is health to us spiritually. And these things are talked about scientifically. And if you can ever go and hear Tony, go and hear her. It's worth the money to do it. But it didn't start with Tony. It started with God's declaration of himself and his call to us to enter his gates with what? Thanksgiving, and enter his courts with praise. God himself says this is where it begins. I love this season in the United States, my adopted heritage. It's this fabulous season there. Once you get through the ugliness of Halloween, you enter into this whole beautiful season of thanksgiving. And families come from all over the nation and all over the world to come together. And it is actually a government-proclaimed holiday that the purpose of is to give thanks to God for his faithfulness. And whether people like it or not, the declared holiday is a day set aside of thanksgiving to God. And as a family, we would sit around a table, and before we ate anything, we would simply share one thing that we were thankful for in the year that has passed. We will have a Thanksgiving service. It's always the fourth Sunday we have in November. And it will be a time of thanksgiving. That following week, we have our, AGM. And, I hate bureaucratic names for things, but we have written in our bylaws, we have to have an annual general meeting. Listen, it's not just a business meeting, because I think that term AGM loses the sense of what this meeting is about. Yes, sometimes there's business we have to conduct and things we bring, but it is a time where we talk about what God has done in the year past. We talk about the things that God is doing. We talk about the things that we are expectant of God to do. We talk about dreams. We talk about vision. We talk about what, and this time we will talk about what God has done in this place, in this center. We'll share stories. What he's done in the community that he has placed us in. What he is doing in this nation and what he is doing in the world. God is doing amazing things. And it's worth celebrating that stuff. So this month, commit yourself to engage in thankfulness. commit yourself now. That's why I'm telling you now, 4 weeks in advance, there is an AGM on Tuesday night, the 24th, I think, or 25th of November, one of those two dates. Someone look it up if you want to. But we're going to come together and we are going to celebrate what the Lord has done and what He's doing and what He's going to do. But let me start here. Biblical gratitude is not just about what I have to be grateful for. Let me say that again. Biblical thankfulness, biblical gratitude, biblical thanksgiving is not just about what I have to be grateful for, but rather the who that I have to be grateful to. Biblical thanksgiving does not begin with the what. It begins with the who. And this is what I want to call us to this morning on the first Sunday in our month of thankfulness. We are going to cover a number of different themes, and each week is themed, and they're all going to be simple and helpful, and they're all going to start with a P. We'll talk about the power of thanksgiving, and we'll talk about praise in thanksgiving, and we'll talk about the practice of thanksgiving and the provision and all those things. But we must start with the P, the person, the who that we are to be grateful to. Psalm 145. And I'm going to read the whole psalm. I want you to just listen to the psalmist's words here. This is a psalm of praise, a psalm of thanksgiving. I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you. Again, I will extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord. Most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. I'll meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I'll proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. For the Lord is gracious and compassionate and slow to anger and rich in love. And the Lord is good to all, and He has compassion on all that He has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people will extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom. They speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. For your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all He promises and faithful in all He does. All of that beginning there, not yet has the psalmist begun to list, you know, the Lord's provision for him. He hasn't said, "And I, you know, thank you for my health and for my food and my, for my shelter and my transportation and my family." And my, he has, the whole thing has been, "Lord, it is you, it is you, it is you, it is you." And this is the place where thanksgiving begins, when it is born out of our recognition of the person. He then, after all that, says this, the eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and you satisfy the desires of every living thing. But he goes right back into, the Lord is righteous in all His ways, faithful in all He does. The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear Him. He hears their cry and He saves them. The Lord watches over all who love Him. The wicked will be destroyed. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise His holy name forever and ever. What a psalm of praise and thankfulness, but a psalm that is born in the who that God is. I say it again. This is the starting place. It's not just thankfulness for the what, but for the who. The truth is this. I hear a lot of people say, I don't have much to be thankful for. I don't have much to be thankful for. But the reality is, as created beings, as people who have been offered God's forgiveness and His grace, that have been offered to be restored in relationship with Him, we all have someone to be thankful to. He is the unchanging God. The same yesterday, today, forever, who knows our every need, who knows our every frailty, who knows our every failing, and who has the perfect response. God, who knows us intimately and has the perfect response. And I hear people say, I didn't get what I wanted. I didn't receive what I asked. It didn't turn out as I expected. But do we trust that the Lord knows what is good, what is right? Do we trust that He is faithful in all He does? Can we turn our experiences into a statement that says, God, because of Your unfailing character, I thank You that You know what is best for me, that You know what is good and what is right, and I thank You that it is You who works all things together for good to those who love You and are called according to Your purposes. Because when we trust His character and our thankfulness is about the who, we enter into praise that is right. But when we just look at circumstances and the what, and we begin to measure the incomparable God by a set of circumstances, we will fall short of praise. We will fall short of thanksgiving. I was at a funeral yesterday. And I was so thankful for the theme that came through from Kari Lee Birrell's family, husband, friends. The honesty that said, we hurt, we don't understand, we wish it was different, we desired that it would be different, but yet, we know that You are God and we know that You are good. Many people tracked with Kari through this journey. Many have befriended, you know, Rill and Peter as a part of this family. Many of us walked through with Sue and Bill the sudden loss there when we believed that we'd seen the miracle and embraced the miracle, and yet it went somewhere that we didn't expect and didn't want. But I loved this week when I saw Sue and I just put my arms around her and she just said to me, God is good. He is faithful. And she said, I'm thankful for where I know Bill is. When you talk with Rill or Peter, you'll hear them say the same thing. Because true thankfulness is born out of a confidence in the who, not just the what. There are many times I don't like what I go through, but I have to say, God, I am thankful that You are shaping me. Would my flesh cry out and desire that circumstances might be different? Yes, many times, yes. But I have to come back to that place that I say, Lord, I am thankful that You will use this in my life to shape me, to conform me to the likeness of Your Son, which has always been Your purpose. And believe me, conforming and shaping is never just a pleasant experience. But God in His working is good. As Stephen read in that little prayer journal before, We say, God, I thank you that you know me, but you also invite me to know you. And I thank him continually that he is gracious, that he is merciful. When we focus on the what we have to be thankful for, we tend to compare with others. And in our self-centeredness, we very easily tend to compare what I call upline. Those who have more, those who have received answers to their prayer differently, those who have got what they wanted, those, and we look at that and we go, why aren't my circumstances like that? And we do. Our selfish nature is to compare upline. Very rarely do I hear people, when they're talking about the what, say, why don't I have as little as them? Very, very rarely will people compare downline. Our selfish human nature positions us that we want to compare with those who have more, have it differently, have it better, have it safer. But the reality is, when we focus on God's character, the who, all we have is God's own declaration of who he is. There's no one to compare him to. When we're in the what, we get caught in this trap of comparison. When we're in the who, there is no one to compare him to. Listen to these words. Psalm 40 and verse 5. The writer here says, many, Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you've planned for us. None can compare with you. Were I to tell of your deeds, there'd be too many to declare. Psalm 86, verses 8 and 10. Amongst the gods, there's none who is like you. Lord, no deeds can compare with yours. For you are great and do marvelous deeds, and you alone are God. Psalm 89, verse 8. Who is like you? Lord God Almighty, you, Lord, are mighty, and your faithfulness surrounds you. Isaiah chapter 40, 25 through 28. To whom will you compare me? God actually invites this through his prophet Isaiah. To whom are you going to compare me? Who is my equal? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all this? Who brings out the starry host one by one? Who calls forth each of them by name? Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one is missing. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my people, my way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not grow tired nor weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. No one can get to the bottom of it. No one can just discern his ways. His understanding no one can fathom. When we get caught in the what, we end up comparing and we try to discern God based on this experience, rather than taking hold of what God has declared of himself, the who. The 103rd Psalm begins with these words of thanksgiving. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul. The bedrock of who I am, praise his name. And then he says, and forget not all his benefits. But it starts with, praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul. And by the way, don't forget all his benefits. But it's easy to flip that around. It starts with praise. Psalm 100, verses 1 through 5, and this week's memory verse was from that passage. Verse 1, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful song.
Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us. We are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture.
Verse 4. Hopefully this one is embedded in your heart. It's on the forefront of your mind this week. What does it say? Enter His gates with thanksgiving.
Okay, we haven't quit memory verses yet. Okay, we've got about 8 weeks left. And I still am going to encourage you, please, even if you're not, you know, getting them locked away, meditate on them again and again and again and again.
This is such a call to us at the beginning of this month on Thanksgiving. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and bless His name. Give thanks to Him and bless His name.
Verse 5, for the Lord is good and His love endures forever and His faithfulness continues through all generations.
If you haven't picked them up, this month's memory verses are available there, as well as the bookmark for November and December reading. This will wrap up this year. But please pick them up. But as I close, I just want to break down this passage that verse is taken from, this psalm. Track with me just for a minute. It starts with this: make a joyful shout to the Lord. This psalm of thanksgiving just says decisively, make a joyful shout to the Lord. I ask you this, and this is interaction time. When was the last time you just let out this shout of joy? What was the experience that something in you just went, yeah? Anything? Anything come to mind? Yes, yell it out. Sorry, I didn't hear you.
Oh, ziplining through the jungles of Thailand. Absolutely. I am so there with you. Donna and I, when we were just in New England, we ziplined across these forests through the tree canopy. And I know what you're talking about. It was just this.
Actually, I wasn't sure if it was all just this joy or part of it was like, as you just sound, but it's this amazing thing. Something in you just goes, yeah. What else?
Yell it out.
When New South Wales, I am so there, John. I am, yeah. When New South Wales won State of Origin. What else?
Yeah.
How wonderful. Christophe and Mel, who have been our partners in our global impact, A Good Life over in the south of France for years and years, are coming home. And Michelle and Judy, his parents or their parents and grandparents, just are so psyched. Yeah. What else?
Greta's coming home Wednesday. Yell it out in the back there.
Carrying Tracy across the threshold of the house that they've been longing for and waiting for and have just gotten into. What else? A wedding. Oh, man. Weddings are worth celebrating. I did a wedding recently. I pronounced them as husband and wife. And I was just like, yeah, like I'm standing there conducting the wedding. It just was such an awesome moment. And most of the people looked at me like, what the heck is?
And some things are just worth celebrating. What else causes this roar of joy? Anything else?
A birth of a child. Call them out. Family are near me. Yeah, the greatness of God, when we recognize it, it should cause a stir in us, something that we yell about. We're not a culture that really gets what it is to yell unless it's in a somewhat acceptable environment like Suncorp Stadium to watch New South Wales win. Or it's like, you know, we have these places. But what the writer of this psalm says is, as a part of Thanksgiving, make a joyful noise. Make a joyful noise. Well, I don't know what to say. It's not a say, it's a noise. It's a noise. And this is the thing that we have to stir ourselves to recognize, that we need to call out to that, you know, deep place of ourselves and go, get over yourself and declare the greatness of who God is. It's not just based in the what, it is in the who, but we are more familiar with the what. There was an event, V-Day, the end of World War II. Very few of us here would have been around for that. But I found an old grainy little video. And I want to just share it with you. It's just a moment. It's just a minute or so long. Over 1.5 million people, this is the one in London, listening to Winston Churchill declare that the war is over, that peace has been signed. I want you to just watch what happens here. I can't imagine being in the middle of a crowd of 1.5 million people that hear this declaration that they've been waiting on for years, that the war is finally over, that peace has come. And Winston says, look, there's a moment here for celebration, but knowing what the work was ahead. But there is something that happens, and they rally together, and there's just this, yeah, and then they burst into song. This identifying song of who they are, the national anthem. But I wonder, in our lives, when you think of your relationship with God, the who of God, does something rise up within you that goes, the war is over. I was once an enemy of God, but I have been forgiven and I've been set free and restored into right relationship with Him. The enmity is gone. The war is over. I am reconciled to my Creator. I am now a son or a daughter of the Most High God. I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ of the fullness of the inheritance of heaven and His goodness. Yeah! I want that in me. That should stir us. It's over. Go back 2 months, and we are the ambassadors of that kingdom message that therefore cry out, be reconciled to God. Because there are a heck of a lot of people that the war is not over for. But does that so resonate within us that we begin to give thanks to who He is? It goes on to say the next line in that psalm, and I'm going to move very quickly, do it gladly. Don't do it just because you're told to. Do it because it's born out of the recognition, the realization of what we have. Do it gladly. Do it with gladness. For He made us, the psalmist says here, He made us and He knows us. He is the shepherd and we are now the sheep of His pasture. He cares for us. Make a joyful shout to the Lord. The war's over. We are reconciled. Do it gladly. He made us and He knows us. He cares for us. Come into His presence with thanksgiving. Why? The last verse of that psalm gives us three very clear directives. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. The writer says this, come into his court, into his presence with thanksgiving because the Lord is good. Secondly, his mercy is everlasting. The Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and thirdly, his truth endures forever. Psalm 105 talks about coming into his presence. He knows us. He is good to us. He cares for us. He is faithful to us. He has reconciled us to himself. But come into his gates, into his presence with thanksgiving because the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures forever. This is where thankfulness begins, when we take a hold of this and we do not measure his worth of gratitude based on our experience or circumstances. But we take a hold of these truths and we allow that roar of revelation to rise up within us that says, I will come into your presence with thanksgiving because you are good and your mercy is everlasting and your truth endures forever. Let's get to our feet. Okay, now that's, yeah. It's okay. If you're not used to it, it's okay to interact. I'm going to ask you to raise your voice. I want you to think of these last three things here. The Lord is good. His mercy, it's everlasting. And his truth endures forever. Come into his presence with thanksgiving. Why? Come into his presence with thanksgiving. Why? The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures forever. Speak it out over our lives. Come into his presence with thanksgiving. Why? The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures forever. Give him praise. God, you are good. We love you. We honor you. God, let this resonate within us that you are worthy of all praise, greater than our circumstances, greater than anything we see, incomparable. God, we love you. Let's bring him praise. There's just this simple song. I really ask with everything in you, most of you will probably know the words. If you can, shut your eyes and begin to sing it out. Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King, for his love endures forever, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever.